الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، حاميم، والكتاب المبين. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة، إنا كنا منذرين، فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم، أمرا من عندنا، صدق الله العظيم. أمرا من عندنا، إنا كنا مرسلين، صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, it is a night of Barat. There are many hadiths of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although they may not be of the same category of the Sahih Ahadith of Bukhari and Muslim Sharif, but yet when there are a number of Ahadith which have been reported by numerous Sahabas, then it is taken into consideration and we should observe that night for ibadat, for zikr, for tilawat, for ruju ila Allah, for turning towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because there are a number of ahadiths with regards to the virtues of Laylatul Barat. We have just 1 hour, and in the 1 hour, if we have to discuss each and every aspect of this Mubarak night, then we won't finish till the morning. So instead of going into all the details, most of the things you are familiar with, you have heard about Laylatul Barat, the virtues of Barat, the virtues of this night in the past. So we'll just try to list some of the things that have been mentioned with regards to this Mubarak night. When it comes to Laylatul Qadr, we have to speak about Laylatul Qadr. When it comes to Laylatul Barat, we are going to be speaking about Laylatul Barat, even if you heard of it many, many times. And when it comes to some other occasion like the Yawm of Ashura, then we are going to talk about the day of Ashura. So we should not think that these are things which we have heard, so therefore what is the sense of listening to it again? Of course, we should not consider this gathering as compulsory, farz, wajib or sunnat. In the time of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he mentioned the virtue of some night or some day, then the sahaba ikram ridwanullah alayhim ajmain did not require reminding. They did not require reminding them. If they were told namaz is farz 5 times a day, then there was no need for any jamaat or any group of people or any maulana or any sheikh to remind the person that why namaz is farz 5 times a day. Please make sure that you make your namaz 5 times a day. There was no question of that. If they were told liquor is haram, then that liquor which was in the jar did not come into the glass or tumbler. That which was in the tumbler did not come into the mouth, and that which was in the mouth did not even go down the throat. That was the kind of obedience they had. That once it comes from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there was no ifs and buts. But we are weak. We are more than 1400 years away from the time of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, we have to remind ourselves and remind others. We tend to forget. So it is merely a reminder that we should not be negligent. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reports that Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, besides the month of Ramadan, in which he kept fast for the whole month, it was the month of Shaban in which he kept the most amount of fasts. I'm not going to give you detailed ahadith or the translation or the meaning, just to highlight some of the issues that have been discussed in those hadiths. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to observe fast in the month of Shaban considerably. And the reason that he gave for that, one of the reasons, was that this is a month between Rajab and Ramadan. But people are negligent. They are negligent of their duties towards Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam in this particular month. They are not aware that in this month, the book of deeds for the past year is closed. It is presented before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. A new book of deed is opened. In other words, it is a night which is very significant. The 15th night of Shaban, this is what happens. If you look at another hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he came into the house. It's a lengthy hadith, but just again one part of that hadith. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came into the house. It was after Isha that he came into the house. He went to lie down on the bed, and then again he got up. The hadith sharif uses the words, قَامَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ رُوَيْدًا وَانْتَعَلَ رُوَيْدًا وَفَتَحَ الْبَابَ رُوَيْدًا وَأَغْلَقَ الْبَابَ رُوَيْدًا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. What a beautiful teaching of Sharia. I have discussed this in the past also, but let us listen to it again and see if we are practicing on it. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came into the house. Now when he was leaving the house, because Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was asleep, so not to disturb her sleep, he got up very gently, very quietly. He did not make a noise. He put on his shoes also very softly. There was no big din that he made, no big noise that he made. When he opened the door also, it was very gently. And when he shut the door also, it was very gently. This is the teaching of Islam. This is the teaching of Sharia. These are the teachings which we have neglected. Causing inconvenience to others has become part of our lives. We are unconcerned what kind of inconvenience we cause to others. We have become very, very selfish when it comes to parking or when it comes to anything else. We have become very selfish. We look at our own comfort, our own convenience. We do not look at the convenience of the others. We take no consideration of our neighbors. We take no consideration of our other associates. We take no consideration of other congregation members. And in our own homes, we take no consideration of the rights of our wives, our children, our elderly parents, our brothers and sisters who may be residing in the same home. We become so selfish that all we look forward to is our own comfort and convenience at the cost of others. Therefore, in one hadith, or it has been reported by many sahaba, which we discussed here in some of the majlises, of the many things that have been discussed in that hadith, one of the things that comes to mind, that if you want to become an abdal, if you want to become of the abdal, then what must you do? Then put your hand on your chest and ask yourself a question. If you want to become of the abdal, then this is what you should be doing. That treat others as you would like to be treated yourself. What you love for yourself, love for others. Now, would we love inconvenience for ourselves? Would we love that somebody cheats us? Would we love that somebody speaks lies to us, takes a false qasam, makes a false promise, and then deceives us? Would we like that somebody inconveniences us by parking his car in our driveway? If we have to leave suddenly, we cannot leave. We have to go around searching for that person. Why? Because he's engaged in some dua in the masjid, or he's making some nafil namaz, or is in tahajjud prayers or ishraq or chasht. You think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will become pleased with that kind of ishraq and chasht and duas when it is causing inconvenience to somebody? I have mentioned before also that even if you have to miss your jamaat, your salat with jamaat, because the person came late, he cannot find parking, so he's going to miss his salat with jamaat. So then he rather miss his salat with jamaat, inshallah Allah will give him that sawab. But it is not permissible for him to go and put his car in front of somebody's driveway and obstruct that person. He should rather seek permission from that person. Say, I am late, do I have your permission to park my car here? These are simple little teachings of Sharia, but they mean a lot when it comes to the propagation of Islam. Islam was propagated by one's character, akhlaq, muamlat, muasharat, our dealings, our etiquettes, our morals, our behavior, our conduct. That is how Islam spread, not by speeches. You want to say something? Not by speeches. Islam spread by akhlaq. Now these things create animosity. It creates ill feelings. Now here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is his beloved wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, would never have become annoyed. But he does not want to disturb her sleep because he's going to the graveyard to go and pray for the deceased. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what he thought. If we have a function in our home, there is a marriage or walima or anything else, how many times we have seen in our neighborhood, our own Muslim brothers will call the Qawwali troops, and whole night there will be full blast music, unconcerned whether there is a sick person in that home next door or in the neighborhood who has got a heart attack, is suffering from cancer, is suffering from some other disease and sickness. Doctors have asked him to have a rest, but he cannot go off to sleep. Little children cannot go off to sleep. We complain about the Diwali crackers, but we don't look at our own actions. Brothers, I always say that these things are painful to listen to. It is always nice to listen to a very sweet talk, beautiful speech, flowery language. Wah, wah, mashallah, beautiful. But when it comes to those things that we have to do, it is always easy to talk about something that is happening far away. It is our duty as Muslims that even if one person is affected 1,000 miles away or 100,000 miles away, then we must feel the pain, we must feel the hurt, we must feel the injury, and we must do whatever we can to assist, to come to the assistance of that brother or that sister. But shaitan is very, very shrewd and very clever. Sometimes he diverts our attention from our own selves by making us always look further away from our shores. That we are concerned about the condition of the Muslims all over the world, but we are unconcerned about our own condition. That what is my character like? What is my akhlaq like? What are my dealings like? What is the condition of my heart? How much of malice there is in my heart? How much of greed there is in my heart? How much of jealousy and envy there is in my heart? I don't look at that. Whereas we will be questioned about ourselves. We have to improve our own conditions first. Even when we are making an effort on others, our intention and niyat must be to improve our own condition. Until we don't change our own condition, we will not be even able to impact on the lives of others. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us a beautiful lesson. Now if we have to return home from some program, then what is our attitude? And especially our youth, the type of problems that they are giving to the parents, of course, most of the time is the parents to be blamed for it. That is the type of upbringing that they have given to those children. From the time they were born with cell phones in their hands and with music in their ears, and with the filthy programs which we thought that they were not understanding. But the mothers carried those babies in their laps and they viewed all the filth that was coming on those screens. So what have we done to the hearts of those children? But the type of problems these young boys and girls also are giving to their parents, where the parents are now phoning left, right and center. Which day goes by without receiving a call from a mother who has been slapped, or from a father who has been booted and kicked, or sworn at, or cursed? They are pitching up at home 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. So this night is for Tawbah. So Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us, or by way of his example, he shows to us that this is how we should be treating our families. This is how we should be entering our homes. This is how we should be leaving our homes. We should be always considerate. We should sacrifice our own comfort for the comfort of others. We should not be demanding our rights all the time. We should be fulfilling the rights of others. And in the process, what will happen is our rights will also get fulfilled. If each and everyone says that I want to fulfill the rights of the others, my brothers, my sisters, my parents, my neighbors, my children, my teachers, the rich, the poor, the Muslim, the non-Muslim, I want to fulfill everyone's right. He doesn't demand. And the other person says the same thing. If you have a whole society of people doing the same thing, then that will become Jannat on earth. This is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam created in Madina Sharif. A whole society of people concerned about the welfare, about the goodness, about the comfort, about the security, about the happiness of the other person. By way of example, even if they, say if there were 10,000 people living at that time, of course there were plenty, but just by way of example, if there were 10,000 people, then if one person received happiness, there were 9,999 people to share in his joy, in his happiness. Each and everyone was happy that my brother received some kind of joy in his life. And if there was one person that was suffering, there were 9,999 sharing in his suffering. What kind of society that was? Hi, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal and ihsan, that by their sacrifices at least we received Islam, and today we can read about them in our history books. But the earth will never have a gathering of that again. The heavens will never witness a society of that nature again, where the sohbat and the company of Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was changing their lives. Those people who were thirsty for the blood of others, those people who slaughtered their own children, they buried them alive, those people who did not know what marriage was, the women were treated like doormats or like cattle and sheep. Those people who did not know what akhlaq was, what morals were, what etiquettes were, they became the guide for mankind. So in this night of Barat, this is the first lesson that we must take. If we don't take any lessons, then it means it's just a get-together and termination. At present, as we have in most conferences and seminars, plenty of resolutions, and after a little while, all dissolutions. Nothing. So we must take some lessons. At least if we take this lesson, that from now on, I will give consideration to the others, then we have taken a great lesson. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes to the graveyard and he makes dua for the people that were buried there in Jannatul Baqi. From that hadith we learn that one of the things that a person should do in this night without any formality is to make dua for those who are deceased, those who have passed away. And if it is not a risk, then to go to the graveyard. Otherwise, in the shock of fulfilling this mustahab, if you go midnight to the graveyard and if something happens, then don't blame this hadith for it. In our times, the conditions are different. The graveyards are not safe late at night. So it is not farz and wajib. You can make dua from your home. Nevertheless, Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on another occasion, he informs that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that it is the night of Barat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives more people than the number of hair goats and cattle of the Bani Kalb tribe, or the fiber on this, in the wool of the sheep of the Bani Kalb tribe. The Bani Kalb tribe was reputed to have the largest number of cattle, sheep, etc. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives more people than that even in this night. But provided the person is wanting to change, he is making sincere tawbah, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives him. We learn from the other hadiths that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in the latter part of every night, or what we may term as early part of the morning, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself says, is there anybody seeking forgiveness, I may forgive him. Is there anybody seeking health, I may give him health. Is there anybody seeking this or that, I may bless him with it. But in the night of Barat, we are told that from the time of Maghrib, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala descends onto the first heaven. Now this descending of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not mean that he has got a body, a physical body that he goes up and down. It means that he casts his special glance of rahmat and mercy towards the people of the earth. Allah ta'ala himself from the time of Maghrib says, is there anybody seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Is there anybody seeking sustenance that I may give him sustenance? Is there anybody seeking health that I may give him health? Is there anybody seeking a way out of his problems or difficulties that I may take him out of his problems and difficulties? In other words, anything that you can think of, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever is our need, he is asking, if you have you got a need, come towards me. I am prepared to answer, I am prepared to respond. Allah ta'ala's line is never busy, it's never engaged. Any part of the day or night, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is willing to listen to his servants. So many times you have heard that Allah ta'ala has put his, in his name, the ah of the servants. No other deity in the world has got the ah of the servants in his name. Allah, more than 2/3 of it is ah. And a person says ah when he is in distress. Allah Ta'ala says, if you are in distress, then turn towards me. I am listening to you any part of the day or night. After that, Allah Ta'ala gives us what is good for us. What is in his wisdom good for us, he will give us. Sometimes a child has got high temperature, and the child is asking for things which will make it worse. So the mother says, no, not now. Now you have this, but later I will give you that. What you are asking for when you are healthy and fit. The child has got his nostril, or he's got a running nose, he's got a bad cold, and now he's asking for popsicle. So the mother is not going to give popsicle at that time. So whatever Allah Ta'ala feels is best for us, he will give us. But that dua will not go waste. Sometimes it is some bala that is coming, Allah Ta'ala will remove it. We will not even know that it was coming and Allah removed it because of that dua that we made. Sometimes he gives us something better instead of what we are asking for. And sometimes he keeps it in store and he will give it to us in the akhirat. But we will never be at a loss. So on this particular night, in this night of Barat, of course the Mufassireen have said, Hazrat Mujahid, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu and others, that in the ayat of the Quran Sharif where it is mentioned, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah, that refers to Laylatul Qadr. But Hazrat Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala anhu and others, they say that it refers to Laylatul Barat in this sense, that since it is a night in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala separates all the orders, and the angels who are in charge of that particular department, they are given the list. Those people who are going to be born, those people who are going to die, and how much of risk and sustenance a person is going to be given, everything is finalized. So this night, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the Quran Sharif onto the Lawh-e Mahfuz. That means the decision to reveal the Quran Sharif onto the preserved tablet was taken in this night. And from there, over a period of 23 years, the revelation of the Quran Sharif took place, and that revelation commenced in the night of Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil Qadr. So there is a reconciliation. But we learn from the hadiths that this is a night in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives the list to the angels of those people that are going to be dying this year. Those people that are going to be born, how much of sustenance a person is going to be receiving, what kind of sicknesses and diseases the person is going to be suffering in the course of this year, all the detailed aspects, what kind of disasters are going to take place in the world, how many people are going to lose their lives in battles and in wars, which country is going to have a revolution, which president of the country is going to end up as a prisoner, and which prisoner is going to end up as a president of the country. All the details Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives it to the angels in the night of Barat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person is building a house and his name is already in the list of dead. It's already in the list of dead, he's gone. The person is planning to marry and his name is already in the list of the dead ones. The person is planting in his garden and his name is already in the list of the dead ones. The person may be in his business and is planning for the future. I'm going to purchase this stock and that stock, and I will market it in this way and that way, and I will do huge Christmas business, but his name is already in the list of the dead. And the person does not even know when that time is going to come. One secret that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept to himself, that nobody knows. Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. Aur usme tausee bhi hai ghair mumkin, aur miyad uski nahi maloom. How many times you have heard this? The visa of life, what a kind of visa it is, that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala cancels that visa, no person knows. What is the duration of the visa? Nobody knows. Extension of that visa, impossible. That is the kind of visa of life that we have. And then we have to present ourselves before Allah. Whenever we are told of Qiyamat, Qiyamat, then we always say Qiyamat is far away. We don't know when Qiyamat will come. But when the person dies, his Qiyamat has already begun. The moment he dies, his Qiyamat has begun. And especially in our times, when there's so much of hijackings, murders, killings, shootings, wars, earthquakes, gale force winds, accidents, smashes, plane crashes. So at such a time, what guarantee we have got that we are going to be living another 100 years? So there is no time. We all say that we are going to reform, we are going to change, but we just are waiting for a little bit of time. So when will that time come? The simple question, when will that time come? Before death or after death? Will the person change before death or after death? If it is before death, then we do not know when our death will come. I mentioned in one of my majlis that at Jan Smuts Airport, some friends asked me for nasihat. I'm repeating for the benefit of whoever may not have heard these things, and I haven't planned anything, so whatever will come in my mind, I will say. At Jan Smuts Airport, some friends asked for nasihat. So I said, "Bhai, what nasihat do you want at an airport? We have an arrival board and a departure board. There is an arrival board and a departure board. And I don't think anybody has any doubt that he has arrived in this world. If anybody has any doubt that he has arrived, then we must look for the nearest asylum and have his head checked up. So everybody is certain that he arrived. Now what is left is departure. Now those times on the boards there, there can be a little delay also. But our departure, there's going to be no delay. The passengers know that that flight is going to take off at a certain time, expected departure. We do not even know when our flight is going to take off. So when we look at those boards, we must think of our departure from this world. That is the only thing that puts a brake on our khahishat, on our evil desires and passions. The only thing that puts a brake is the remembrance of death. That the person wants to commit zina, but he thinks of his death, then he will never commit zina. For he learns from the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that when a person commits zina, then his iman leaves him and it stays above him like a roof. At that time, even his iman leaves him. Now what if his death has to come in that state? the person wants to steal, he thinks of his death. If the person wants to commit fraud, he wants to do any haram, then he thinks of his death, it will put a brake on his desire. So I said, look at those boards, there is one arrival and one departure board. So think of our departure, we do not know when it will be. So let us make the best of the life that Allah Ta'ala has given. Kar le jo karna hai aakhir maut hai, ek din marna hai aakhir maut hai. Do whatever you have to do, for finally there's going to be death. One day you are going to die. Ek din marna hai aakhir maut hai. The end is result of life in this world is death. And I mentioned that the believers look at this in a different light, and the disbelievers look at it in another light. For the believers, they say, well, then it means that whilst we are living, we must do the best. We must accumulate the maximum amount of good deeds before we leave this world. And for the disbelievers, enjoy as much as you can because you're going to die and turn to dust. So commit as much adultery, fornication, steal. Do whatever you wish to. Drink as much as you want. Dance, sing. Because you're going to die and turn to dust. And the believer says that I'm going to turn to dust, but that will not be the end of my life. That will be only the beginning of a perpetual life. So therefore let me make the best of this life on this earth and accumulate the maximum amount of good deeds before I leave. So this is a night in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala decides what is going to be happening to us for the rest of the year. Therefore we should be making plenty of dua in this night, asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to make our taqdeer, to make us of the fortunate ones, to make us of those who are His close ones, of those who have got love of Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and are close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of those who live on this earth as human beings and not as animals. Some of the actions that we read of human beings in these days, we just wonder whether we are reading the history of a human being or the history of an animal. The behavior, the attitude. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given us this information that in this night this is what happens. And we must remember that after we leave this world, then it is only our actions and deeds that come with us. Everything else is left behind here. Ishma shi'ta fa innaka mayyitun. Live as much as you wish, one day you are going to be mayyit. One day death is going to come upon you. One day this body is going to perish. وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ. And love how much you want, whomsoever you want, or whatever you want, but one day you are going to be separated, or that thing is going to be separated from you. And do whatever you wish to, you are going to be rewarded for your actions. Good actions will bring good results, bad actions will bring bad results.
कई बार हमने ये देखा कि जिनका मुशय्यन बदन था मुअत्तर कफन था, कई बार हमने ये देखा कि जिनका मुशय्यन बदन था मुअत्तर कफन था, जो कब्रे कोहन उसकी उखड़ी तो देखा, न उज़्वे बदन था न तारे कफन था.
How many times we have seen कि जिसका मुशय्यन बदन था, मुअत्तर कफन था, वेरी फिट एंड हेल्थी बॉडीज, जॉगिंग, एक्सरसाइजिंग, रनिंग, बाइंग दिस मशीन एंड दैट वन एंड टेकिंग दिस हेल्थ फूड्स एंड दोज फूड्स, कीपिंग द बॉडी इन ट्रिम एंड स्लिम कंडीशन. नथिंग रॉन्ग विद दैट. शरीयत टेल्स अस टू कीप अवर बॉडीज इन गुड कंडीशन. वी मस्ट बी फिट. शरीयत ऑर्डर्स अस टू डू दैट. बट नॉट ओनली फॉर द सेक ऑफ दिस दुनिया. With that body, what did that person do? When his body was fit and healthy, what did he see with those eyes? What did he speak with his tongue? What did he listen with his ears? What did he do with his hands? What did he do with his lips? What did he do with his feet? Who gave him that strength in his body? Who provided that food and that nourishment for that body? Whatever he put into his body, who is it that had that system in his body which turned it to vitamins and turned it to health and strength for him? Gave the eyes the nourishment that it required, gave the ears the nourishment that it required, the tongue the nourishment that it required, His heart, liver and lung, everything was functioning. The same food that Allah Ta'ala gave, the clothes that Allah provided, the health that Allah Ta'ala gave, the same health was used for his disobedience. Those same eyes saw evil. Those same ears listened to haram. The same tongue spoke so much of lies. Those same feet walked to so much of cinemas and theaters and casinos and drug dens. The same lips kissed so much of haram. So he says, what we saw is that fit, healthy bodies. And when they died, then they were given plenty of ithar over their coffin. And a beautiful coffin. But after some time when we opened that grave, there was no sign of that body and no thread left of that coffin. So that is what we have to prepare for. That is for the hereafter. And that preparation will take place in this world without leaving our businesses, without leaving our homes, without leaving our wives and children, without divorcing ourselves from everything that is material in this world. The preparation for the hereafter will take place there. It's not difficult. Islam doesn't say that you must divorce yourself from everything. You mustn't enjoy any good food, mustn't wear good clothes, mustn't travel in a good car, mustn't live in a good home. If Allah Ta'ala provides it, it has come out of halal earnings. You are not lavish, you are not extravagant. You are providing from the earnings of yours for the poor, for the needy, for the widows, orphans and good causes, and taking care of the neighbors, and spending in other good works, and at the same time providing some comfort and goodness for yourself, then there is nothing wrong with that. Deen is simple, deen is easy, deen is practical. I have explained many times that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose for himself that 2x2 room. He chose for himself that very, very simple clothes and food. He chose for himself that there should not be a single gold coin in his home or a single thing left over for the next day. That was his tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But for the believers, he has left the shariat. The Quran Sharif talks about masail of zakat. How would zakat become farz if it was not permissible to keep some money? How would it become necessary to distribute inheritance? How would it become necessary to wind up estates if the persons were told that you must not keep anything for your children, for your grandchildren? Then there was no question of the Quran Sharif discussing لِلْزَكَرِ مِسْلُ حَزِّ الْأُنْسَيَيْنِ and all the other يُسْيِكُمُ اللَّهِ ayat. What was the need for it? Allah Ta'ala would have just revealed one ayat, it is not permissible for you to keep anything for the morrow. So that is Shariat for us, for weak people like us. We are saying that in these times, eat, drink, be cheerful, be happy, talk, laugh, joke. Give your nafs enough halal so that you don't go to haram. That's the only thing. Give the nafs enough halal in these days so that you don't go to haram. The only pain and pressure that we have to take upon our hearts is the resistance from haram. And there is a flood of haram in our marketplaces, flood of haram in our bazaars, flood of haram in our schools and colleges and universities, flood of haram the moment you step out of your house. And no more out of the house, now even within our own homes, there's a flood of haram that is there. Now to restrain ourselves from all that haram. There are so many children who want to change their lives, but they say the moment we pick up the Quran Sharif, my father puts on the television full blast. My mother puts the music full blast. So in the homes, there's so much of fitnas. They are not happy about the changes coming in the lives of the youth or the young people. They call them fanatics after that. So there's so much of fitnas that are out there. Now at such a time, there is definitely a pain that a person has to take on his heart of restraining himself from that haram. And when he's going to take that pain, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not unjust. Allah ta'ala gives to that person halawat of iman straight away. The sweetness of iman that person receives straight away. What is the sweetness of iman? Until we don't taste it, we cannot describe it. It comes inside the heart. A kind of happiness, a kind of ecstasy, a kind of joy, a kind of pleasure, a kind of connection that if one feels with his Allah. He feels as if he is in a cloud of nur. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is protecting him and taking him along. There is a sweetness in it. There's an enjoyment in it. It's not a lie that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has spoken, na'uzu billah. If he has mentioned about sweetness of iman, there is sweetness in iman. If somebody has to say that there's sweetness in bamboo sticks, we won't believe it. But if somebody says there's sweetness in a sugar cane, we believe it. What is the difference between a bamboo stick and a sugar cane? that Allah who can put sweetness into the sugar cane, cannot He put sweetness into the heart of a believer? That is what Hazrat Mujaddid Rahmatullah Alayhi or Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, that, oh, you Mughal kings, when you are going to die, your thrones will remain here, your crowns will remain here, your gold and silver will remain here, you will go away empty-handed. And when Shah Waliullah is going to go, then he's going to go with some diamonds that at present also he has got in his heart. And what were those diamonds? They were the diamonds of the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in this night, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes decisions. There's so much that can be said. If we have to just discuss, for example, that those people who are not forgiven in this night, although it's a Mubarak night, those who are disobedient to their parents. Now if we have to discuss that, it requires hours and hours. But just one or two things, the Quran Sharif and the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam place so much of emphasis on the rights of parents. You can replace everything, but you can't replace parents. However, it is the duty of the parents also to make sure that they give those children such kind of upbringing, such kind of knowledge, such kind of education, that those children understand what the rights of the parents are. One mother complained about one daughter. So she brought the daughter and came over, but she had not informed the daughter that she is bringing her over for what reason. An elderly woman, she brought her daughter and came. And I was not aware to what is the real problem. And then in front of the daughter, she tells me suddenly that I brought her here because this is what she was caught with. And she gave a whole detail of all the filth. Straight away the daughter got up, a young daughter, about 18, 19 she must be. She got up and she grabbed the mother by the neck. So I said, please, I don't want Allah Ta'ala's azab to come down here in this office. If you want to do that, go and do it somewhere else. Another mother cursed the daughter in front of me. When she cursed the daughter, I told the mother, don't curse. You rather say Allah give you hidayat. When parents are angry, then you rather say, oh, Allah may give you hidayat. But don't curse those children. For if that curse falls, then you will cry again. Now that mother cursed and I told her, don't curse. But then I saw again after some time that that same mother was taking a hand fan and fanning her daughter who has been cancer. So the children are told that they must be obedient to the parents. There's so much of hadiths, I cannot go into details. Even if the parents are disbelievers, they have got rights. They must be treated kindly. The only thing is that you don't obey them when they ask you to do something that's against the Quran and Sunnah. So there are rights of children, there are rights of parents. But again, I repeat that many a times it happens. No sound at the back there. Please put the... Yeah. What was I talking about? We are talking about parents and children. That what happens sometimes is that the parents go around looking for a bride for their son. And at that time, they make a lot of promises. But when that bride comes, because she's a young girl, she hasn't got experience of cooking and baking and other things, or suddenly the mother and the father sees that the husband seems to have got a lot of love for his wife, then even jealousy comes into the heart sometimes of parents. And then that creates problems. So Shariat has given rights to both the wife and the parents. The rights of the wife must not be sacrificed at the cost of the rights of the parents. And the rights of the parents must not be sacrificed at the cost of the rights of the wife. There must be a balance. Sharia teaches us a balance, and that is the pul sirat. The pul sirat, you have to practice walking upon it in this world. Then it will become easy in the year after. But if you have to discuss these subjects, so the parents, rights of parents, or obedience to parents, if the person is disobedient until he does not ask them for maafi and forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala will not forgive. Those who harbor jealousy and malice in their hearts against their brothers and sisters, against the Muslims, the person has got malice and jealousy in his heart, then in this night, although Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives so much, but such people will not be forgiven. Now what is the benefit? The person is carrying so much of malice, so much of filth and so much of dirt in his heart and walking on the surface of the earth, that even the earth is cursing that person. Rasulullah in Arafat, he was saying, we want to make dua. He said, we want to make dua. Those people who have broken off their relationship with family members, they must leave this congregation. One person got up and went away. Imagine in such a big congregation, 124,000, just one got up. We can imagine what kind of congregation that must have been. Because there was no question of anybody remaining there against the word of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He went and he came back after some time. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, what happened? He said, I was not in talking terms with my aunt. I went there, I asked her for forgiveness. She forgave me, I forgave her. And we made dua for each other and then I came back. He said, you did a wonderful thing. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, His rahmat doesn't descend in that community where the people have broken up their family relationships. If it is for the sake of deen, it is different. But our relationships haven't been broken for the sake of deen. It is for nothing but for material reasons. We are not saying you must not resolve disputes. If there's a dispute in the business or anything like that, then resolve it. But to cut off completely that the person is not talking, that is not a Muslim's shan. So those people are not forgiven. Those who drag their pants below their ankles, we may say, what is wrong with that? If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that Allah ta'ala doesn't cast his nazar of rahmat upon such person, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not speak to him, that means with love and affection. He will go into Jahannam and all the other hadiths. Then who are we trying to please all the time? Will these people help us in any way whom we are trying to please? The fashion world, will it come to our assistance and help? If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is cursing such a person, then how will that person benefit in this world or the akhirat? Just plentiful of wealth is not only the criteria by which you judge a person. That is like the flood waters I've explained many times. We must see how happy is Allah with us, not how happy are people with us. If Allah Ta'ala is happy with us, then everything is ours. And if He is not happy, nothing is ours. Outwardly everything may seem ours. Many other categories have been mentioned. There is no time to go into any details. We are almost coming close to the Azan time. And we have to make dua too. So this is a night in which we have to make plenty of tawbah. It is a night for tawbah. And don't despair of the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is ghafoorur raheem, there is no doubt. Neither should we take the wrong meaning of ghafoorur raheem and say, because Allah is ghafoorur raheem, so let us do whatever we feel like. Allah is ghafoorur raheem. But we don't say that when it comes to our business. We don't say Allah is Razzaq, so why should I go to my business? Allah Ta'ala will provide, let me stay in my house. At that time we don't say that. So just as Allah Ta'ala is Razzaq, He is also Ghafoorur Rahim, meaning that the person now, if he is going to despair, that I have gone too far, I have committed too much of sins, I have no hope in my life, so then that person will go to kufr. So there is no such thing as despair. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is unlimited. That example again comes to mind, that if a person stands on the shore and he tells the ocean that I'm so dirty, urine, stool, blood, all kinds of filth on my clothes and on my body, if I have to dive into you, you will also become dirty. So therefore first I want to become park, then I will come inside. So the ocean will say, oh you stupid and foolish person, how will you come park until you don't dive into me? Millions like you I have made park, and my waters are still park after making you park, and millions like you. So you dive in and see what I do to you. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, His ocean of maghfirat is unlimited. He wants us to dive into this ocean, and the dive we can take by tawbah, sincere tawbah, that if it involves the rights of people, we ask them for forgiveness. And it's an ideal opportunity in this night, Mubarak night, to pick up the telephone and say, please forgive me, I'm sorry, whatever I may done, we'll resolve our problem. But we do not want to harbor jealousy, malice and ill feelings in our hearts. It's an easy thing. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to take a dive. If it's the rights of people, if it's a financial matter, if you are owing people money, then we think of returning. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, we try to start making the qaza. It will take a bit of time, but our niyat is that we want to get connected with our Allah. Ask those young people, many of them, without exaggeration, large number of them, and you'll be surprised if I tell you there are so many people who are far out in England, America, West Indies and other parts of the world who have changed by just listening to the tapes. They have written to me that we've changed our lives, our families changed our life. We found peace, we found happiness, we were searching in the dark, we didn't find a way out. Finally we have found the road. So once you get connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah has promised, فَلَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا. He will give us a very, very pleasant life. And that pleasantness will be inside, inside. Don't look at the outside condition. Outside could still be poverty. Outside could still be patched clothes. Outside could still be sickness and weakness and pain everywhere. But inside the heart there's going to be such joy, such happiness, such comfort Allah ta'ala gives. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is only His ihsan. Because He gives the tawfiq and again after that He blesses us with that. So we should not be afraid to take this dive. Shaitan always tells us your life will become boring. What will you do without music and without cinemas and without theaters and without gambling and without adultery and without fornication and without all this dancing and singing? What will happen to your life? It'll become miserable. It'll become boring. At that time we must say, hum aisi lazzaton ko qabil lanat samajhte hain ke jisse rab mera ae dosto naraz hota hai. With such kind of joys and pleasures, we curse such kind of joys and pleasures with which my Allah becomes displeased. So the life, believe me, will never become boring. There's so much to do in the world. Service to mankind is itself such a thing that you can't have time to do anything. Reading the good literature, you can't have time for anything else. There are so many good books that I want to read, I can't find the time. There's so many people who require our assistance, our help, our khidmat, our service. There's so many things that a person can do which will give him joy, which will bring him happiness. Sins will never bring happiness. The more sin the person commits, the more thirsty he will become for sins. The more salt water the person drinks, the more waters of the ocean he drinks, the more his thirst will increase. Ask any person if after committing adultery 100 times, if he is satisfied now that it has enough. Ask any person who casts lustful glances at women that in your life in 50 years you've already cast 1 million glances. Isn't that enough now? He'll say, no, are there more? Are there more? Because that is the mizaj of Jahannam. يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ تَلَأَتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ. When Jahannam will be asked, are you full now? They say, are there more? So the mizaj of sins is that the more you commit sin, the more you want to commit. And what does it bring finally? Nothing but destruction of the life of that person. His happiness, his joy, his pleasure, everything goes after that. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala suddenly seizes that person, then it is too late. So this is the night to take the dive into this ocean.
Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraaf-e-qusoor hai. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraaf-e-qusoor hai. Hai malak ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzoor mera huzoor hai.
So this tawbah takes a person very, very far. He is just on the earth and suddenly with the tawbah he reaches the arsh. Allah Ta'ala raises him to the stage of the muttaqeen. It is such a thing, this tawbah. So let us make sincere tawbah to Allah. Let us turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Ask Him for forgiveness of our sins. And all the difficulties and the problems that the Muslim Ummah is facing, especially our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Kashmir, in Chechnya, and in other parts of the world. Let us pour our hearts out for them. If we cannot do anything else, let us make dua for them. So read Durood Sharif.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين
Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Akramal Akrameen, Ya Ghiyas al Mustaghiseen, Ya Rahim al Masakeen, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Zalamna Anfusana, Wa Illam Taghfir Lana wa Tarhamna, Lanakunanna Min al Khasireen. يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Oh my beloved Allah. Oh my Rahim, Kareem Allah. Oh my Sattar, Ghaffar Allah. Oh my most forgiving Allah. Oh my most forgiving Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. Oh Allah, you are compassionate, you are kind, you are forgiving, you are loving, you are caring. Oh Allah, you want us to turn towards you with repentance. Oh Allah, we are turning towards you. Ya Allah, you attach these begging bowls to our bodies so that we may raise them before you. Oh Allah, we are raising our hands before you. These are our begging bowls that we are raising towards you. Oh my beloved Allah, if a person has to raise a begging bowl towards a generous person, oh Allah, that person will not return that begging bowl empty. He will put something into that begging bowl. But oh Allah, there is no limit to your treasures. We are extending our begging bowl before you, and you become extremely happy and pleased when we beg of you. You become annoyed and displeased if we do not beg of you. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim, Kareem Allah, how long are we going to live on this earth like hypocrites? How long are we going to sin on the surface of this earth? How long are we going to remain disobedient to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Oh Allah, death is going to come upon us. One day the angel of death is going to take us away from the surface of this earth. Oh my beloved Allah, therefore we are turning towards you. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our parents. Forgive our brothers and sisters. Forgive our wives and children. Forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey mere piyare khuda, hum gunegar hai, hum napaak hai, hum siyakar hai, hum gande hai, hum sab kuch hai, tere bande hai. Mere khuda, tujhe chhod kar hum jaye kaha. Where must we go leaving you, oh my Allah? Who can we turn towards besides you? Who is there for you, us besides you? Oh my Allah, if you turn away your glance of rahmat from us, if you turn away your glance of rahmat and mercy from us, then oh my Allah, you tell us which person is going to accept. Oh Allah, who is going to accept dirty and filthy ones like us? Hey Allah, who is going to accept dirty and filthy ones like us? Hey Allah, tere siwa hamara koi maabood nahi. Tere siwa hamara koi masjood nahi. Tere siwa hamara koi maqsood nahi. Tere siwa hamara koi khalik aur malik nahi. Oh Allah, you are our khalik, you are our malik. You are our creator. Oh Allah, you know our weaknesses. Oh Allah, you know our sicknesses and diseases and illnesses. Oh my beloved Allah, you are well aware of our spiritual and physical ailments. Oh my beloved Allah, we are turning towards you. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my Allah, even if there was a tiny little black ant that crawls on a pitch black rock in the darkest of nights, you are aware of the movement of that ant. You see that ant. You provide for that ant. There is nothing hidden from your sight. Oh Allah, when we were committing sins, we thought that nobody was watching us. Ya Allah, when we committed sins behind closed curtains and closed doors, we thought that nobody was watching us. Our family members were not seeing us. Our parents were not seeing us. Our friends were not seeing us. Oh Allah, we considered everybody to have sight. And the only one we considered blind was you, oh my Allah. You who are the giver of sight, we considered blind. Ay Allah, hum kitne mujrim hai. Hum kitne khatakar hai. Hum kitne gande hai. Ab to hume maaf kar de. Oh my Allah, forgive us in this Mubarak night. Forgive us in this Mubarak night. If you are not going to forgive us, oh my Allah, we will face nothing but destruction in our lives. Ya Allah, this night is for forgiveness. You yourself proclaim, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Is there anybody seeking health that I may give him health? Is there anybody seeking sustenance that I may give him sustenance? Oh my beloved Allah, we are seeking everything from you. We are seeking all the good from you, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, taqdeers are made in this night. We do not know whether we will survive until the next year. We do not know if our name is already in the list of the dead.
dead ones for the year. Oh my Allah, we do not know if the angel of death will suddenly pounce upon us. We do not know when our death will come. We do not know how it will come. We do not know where it will come. Young, fit and healthy people, oh Allah, are suddenly being taken away from our sides. Oh Allah, they are being snatched away from our lives. Ey mere pyare khuda, ey Allah, hame kuch pata nahi maut kab aayegi. How can we be in sinful actions and deeds? We do not know if the angel of death will strike in the cinema or in the theater or in the casino. Ey Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a casino. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco. Don't let the angel of death find us popping drugs into our mouths. Don't let the angel of death find us in adultery or fornication. Don't let the angel of death find us glued to some filthy movie. Don't let the angel of death find us with a filthy novel or porn literature in our hands. Oh my beloved Allah, what an embarrassment and shame that will be for the Muslim Ummah. Ya Allah, we are listening and we are hearing of people dying with bottles in their hands. We are hearing of people dying in the discos and cinemas. We are hearing of Muslims dying in zina and fornication. Oh Allah, recently a person died at a prostitute quarters. Hey, mere Allah, Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam, who made so much of sacrifices for us, when he is informed of this condition of his ummah, that ummah for whom you cried so much, that ummah for whom you shed so much of your blood, that ummah for whom you stood whole night in prayer until your feet swelled, that ummah for whom you were stoned, that ummah for whom thorns were placed in your path, that ummah for whom when you went down in sajda in the haram, intestines of animals were placed on your back. Oh Allah, when he is informed that ummah for whom you shed so much of blood and tears, that ummah today is in cinemas and theaters and in drugs and in fraud and in fornication and in adultery. Hey, mere Allah, how much of injury and pain we are causing to my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, hum gunegar hai, lekin don't cause embarrassment to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah because of our sins, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, humare gunahon ko maaf kar de, maghfirat kar de. Oh Allah, give each and every one of us good health. Bless us with good health. Oh Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our family members, in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever is sick and ailing, Ya Allah, bless them with good health. Bless them with good spiritual health and physical health. Allah, bless us with physical health and spiritual health. Oh my beloved Allah, our hearts have become filled with malice, with greed, with envy, with jealousy, with pride, with arrogance, with all kinds of filth and haram. Hey, very Allah, there's so much of evil passions and desires that have engulfed our hearts. Hey Allah, we have got a corner in our hearts for everything. If there is no corner in our hearts and no place left, it is for your love and for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey mere Allah, lekin tu hamare dilon ko paak kar de. Ya Allah, purify our hearts. Fill our hearts with zuhd. Fill our hearts with taqwa. Fill our hearts with sabr. Fill our hearts with shukr. Fill our hearts with contentment and satisfaction. Fill our hearts with happiness and with joy. Ya Allah, remove the depression of those who are suffering depression. Ya Allah, bless them with joy and happiness. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. Those who are in financial difficulties and problems, remove all the financial difficulties and problems. Oh Allah, bless us with plentiful of halal wealth. There is no shortage of halal, oh Allah, in your treasures. Your treasures are unlimited, oh my Allah. Why should we go towards haram when there is no shortage of halal in your treasures? Ey mere Allah, bless us with halal risk and sustenance. Ya Allah, those who have got no children, bless them with pious children. And those who have got children, make their children the coolness of their eyes. Unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Unite the hearts of family members. Unite the hearts of the entire ummah. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of our parents, our children, our brothers and sisters, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to fulfill the rights of our Muslim friends and non-Muslims. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to show give us the tawfiq to make ibadat, to make zikr, to make tilawat. Fill our hearts with the noor of tilawat. Fill our hearts with the noor of ibadat. Light up our hearts with the noor of zikr. Light up our hearts with the noor of ibadat. Allah, this Mubarak night, give us the tawfiq to turn towards you and make sincere repentance and tawbah. Allah, have a sincere tawbah ki tawfiq ata farma. Ya Allah, maut se pehle pehle, ey mere pyare khuda, maut se pehle pehle, ہمیں توفیق توبہ عطا فرما. اے اللہ سچی توبہ توفیق عطا فرما. اے اللہ before the غسل of میت is given to our bodies, یا اللہ let us take the غسل of توبہ, and before the کفن is put on our body, اے اللہ cover our hearts with the کفن or with the garment of تقوی. او my اللہ, اے میرے پیارے خدا, we have got mountains of sin, oh my Allah. But man has made dynamite stick which blows up mountains in seconds. Oh my Allah, what is it difficult for you to blow up our mountains of sins? Hey, mere Allah, make each and every one of us yours. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. Oh Allah, if you are ours, then everything is ours. Our children will be the coolness of our eyes. Oh Allah, then our homes will give us comfort. Our parents, our children, and everybody will give us happiness. Oh my beloved Allah, if you are not ours, then nothing will be ours. Our children will not be ours. Our homes will not give us comfort. Our businesses will not bring us barakat. There will be nothing but restlessness and anxieties and worries. Ey mere pyare khuda, tu hamara ban ja. Ey Allah, hum tujhse tujhi ko mang rahe hain. Oh Allah, people seek different things from you. Ey mere khuda, we seek you from you. Koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch mangta hai. Koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch mangta hai. الہی میں تجھ سے طلبگار تیرا, الہی میں تجھ سے طلبگار تیرا. Oh my Allah, don't bring about embarrassment and shame and humiliation upon the Muslim Ummah. Hey Allah, assist and help and give nusrat, oh my beloved Allah, to the Mujahideen of Islam. Hey Allah, Palestine ke musalmanon ki aur Mujahideen ki madad farma. Hey Allah, unke Mujahideen ki madad farma. Hey Allah, tu ghaibi nusrat aur madad farma. Tu tere angels aur malaika ke zariye se unki madad farma. Hey Allah, jo shaheed ho chuke hain, unko tu Jannatul Firdaus ke andar ala muqamat ata farma. And their kith and kin whom they have left behind. Oh Allah, bless them with sabr jameel and ajr azim. Ay Allah, masjid aqsa ko to azadi naseeb farma. Ay Allah, yahudiyon ke qabze se isko nikal karke musalmanon ke qabze mein dobara ata farma. Ay mere pyare khuda, tu hukumat islamia ko taufeeq ata farma ke tu in mujahid ke wo mujahideen ki madad kare. Ay Allah, give taufeeq to the muslim governments of the world. Ya Allah, to use the resources that they have at their command to assist and help the Mujahideen of Islam. Ey Allah, kab wo jaagenge mere pyare khuda? Ey Allah, tu hame bhi taufeeq ata farma. Ey Allah, hamari maut ek din aani hai. One day our death is going to come. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, let there be kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah on our lips. Hey, mere pyare khuda, give us such a bond with you, give us such an attachment with you, give us such an attachment with you and such a bond with you, oh my Allah, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you for a single moment. Ya Allah, give us such muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it becomes extremely easy for us to follow his mubarak way of life. Hey Allah, give us such muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it becomes extremely easy for us to make namaz 5 times a day, to give zakat, to fast in Ramadan, to go for Hajj and to fulfill the rights of every person. Ey mere pyare khuda, tu humse razi ho ja. Ey Allah, tu humse razi ho ja. Ya Allah, become ours and make us yours. Ey Allah, become ours and make us yours. Ey mere pyare khuda, duniya aur aakhirat ke azab se hamari hifazat farma. Ya Allah, protect us from the azab of qabr, protect us from the azab of hashar. Ya Allah, let us cross pul sirat like lightning, enters into jannat without any reckoning. Oh my beloved Allah, make life extremely easy for us in this world and make it extremely easy for us in the akhirat. Bless us with the best of this dunya and the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, do not deprive us of the goodness of this world and do not deprive us of the goodness of the akhirat. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Oh my beloved Allah, all the duas that Rasul Pak made for his ummat, all the goodness that he asked for us, bless us with that goodness. Bless our parents with that goodness. Oh Allah, especially in Hajjatul Wida, especially in Hajjatul Wida, with that beautiful congregation of 124,000 companions of his. Oh my beloved Allah, what a beautiful congregation that was. Each and every one of them with a purified heart. Each and every one of them, no malice, no greed, no pride in their hearts. Ey mere Allah, kitne pyare wo log the, kaisi pyari wo jamaat thi. And oh Allah, in that congregation, the duas of Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the duas of goodness that he made for us. Allah, after kissing the Hajr-e-Aswad, the duas that he made. Oh Allah, after touching the Rukn-e-Yamani, the duas that he made. After walking in Mataf, the duas that he made. Ey Allah, Hatim ke andar namazeh pad kar ke jo manga tha, mere pyare Nabi ne Mizab-e-Rahmat ke niche ro ro ke jo manga tha. Ey Allah, he attached himself to Multazam for so long, that namasum and sinless Nabi, for how long he attached himself to the Multazam, and how much of duas he made for us. Ya Allah, behind the Maqam-e-Ibrahim, after drinking Zamzam on Safa and Marwa, in Mina and in Arafat from Zohar till Maghrib. Ay, mere Allah, how much he loved the Ummat. How much he loved the Ummat. So much of tears and blood, oh my Allah, for the sake of the Ummat. Allah, that Ummat today, how much of injury and pain we are causing to him. A few meters away from the Rauza Mubarak of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, via the dish TV. Ey mere pyare khuda, via the dish satellite. Mere pyare khuda, so much of filth is being seen in Madina Tayyiba. So much of filth is being seen in Makkah Mukarrama. Ya Allah, any amount of music and filth can be heard there and seen there. Ey Allah, what kind of pain we are causing. Hame ihsas ata kar, mere Allah. Those who are going for Umrah, oh Allah, give them the realization. Those who are going for Hajj, give them the realization that they are not going on a holiday. They are not going just for pleasure and tour. Oh Allah, they are going to a Mubarak land. The land on which your beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's footprints are. The land on which the footprints of 124,000 companions are. Ey Allah, unko ihsas ata farma to abstain from sins in that Mubarak land. And even here in this country, oh Allah, change the condition. Let the winds of hidayat blow throughout the continents. Give Iman and Islam to each and every one on this land. Give Iman and Islam to each and every one in the universe. Oh Allah, and those for whom there is no Iman and Islam muqaddar, because they themselves have got no interest and no urge, and they've got no desire to accept Islam or Iman. Ya Allah, aur musalmanon ke liye rode bane hue hain, unko Aad aur Samud ki tarike se halak farma. Ey Allah, make our future pleasant for us, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, in this Mubarak night, we are seeking from you. Ya Allah, we are tired of asking. We do not even know what to ask, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, hum mangte mangte bhi thak jate hain. Mere Allah, tu dete dete nahi thakta. But you do not become tired of giving, oh my Allah. So bless us with whatever we have asked, and bless us with that which we haven't asked. Ya Allah, from all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked, bless us, bless our parents, and bless the entire ummah with it. And from all the fitnas and all the corruption and all the mischief that he asked for protection. Oh my Allah, protect us, protect our parents, protect our wives and children, protect the entire ummah of Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, fitnas from our right, fitnas from our left, fitnas from in front of us, fitnas from behind us, fitnas pouring from above. Ey mere Allah, hum kidhar jaye, hum teri hi taraf ruju kar rahe hai. Accept our duas with the wasila of Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey Allah, hum naqabil-e-qubool hai, hum gand ہے ہم ناپاک ہے ہم خطرناک ہے ہم سب کچھ ہے لیکن میرے اللہ ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما تو قبول کرنے والا خدا ہے تو ناپاکوں کو پاک کرنے والا خدا ہے تو مغفرت کرنے والا خدا ہے تو رحمت برسانے والا خدا ہے اے اللہ تو ہم گندوں کو اپنا بنانے والا ہے اے میرے پیارے خدا ہمیں اپنا بنا لے make each and every one of us yours let there be a change in our lives let there be a revolution in our lives change our اخلاق ومعاملات ومعاشرت ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله